Welcome to the HR Means Business podcast, which is part of the HR Happy Hour Network. I'm your host, Mervyn Dinnan, and today it is a great pleasure to be able to introduce Stéphane Rivard, who is co-founder and CEO of a business called Hiring Branch. The topic of interviews is one that I think about a lot, because interviews really are the full employment cycle, from hiring to, I suppose, talent management with performance management and things. And in all my years as a recruiter before being an analyst in what I do now, recruitment and interviews were the bedrock of my day-to-day life cycle. And it's amazing how many times you speak to candidates over the years who said, oh, you know, these people are terrible interviews, or, you know, why is it I can't have a decent interview? So I'm quite keen to see what the work Stéphane's doing and how we could maybe improve and rethink the interviews themselves. So Stéphane, would you like to introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast today. It's exciting to be here. Yeah, so what we've done is we've really helped companies rethink the interview process by giving the candidate an experience to actually do the work. And what we talk about doing the work is like giving them an opportunity to, you know, understand customers' questions, reply to them. And we use AI to evaluate how well they say things. And it's really based around the most important thing in any kind of customer-facing role. It's really based around soft skills. So that is the framework of job success, those soft skills. How can you express yourself? So that's, in a nutshell, what we're currently doing.
Okay. And what got you interested initially in kind of, you know, rethinking interviews?
Yeah, rethinking. You know, it's like everything in life. I've been interested in technology, and I just follow the path. And it was really one of our customers based in the Philippines. They were doing lots of volume, like thousands of candidates that they were evaluating manually using our platform. So they would put these candidates in a scenario, give them some basic interview questions, and they would go into our platform and listen to them. And they were saying that it had very poor correlation between this process and the actual outcome of the employee. And that's really the focus. I've always been like, how do you improve operations? How do you improve anything? I find this fascinating. So this what took us down this path, you know, how can we automate this? And then at that point, once we went down this path, it became obvious that our customers were starting to rethink interviews and replacing that primary interview as a tool to evaluate candidates' skills.
Yes, I suppose over the years, I mentioned before my background in recruitment, but you would often have candidates who would interview very well, but then had a history, a CV history of kind of, you know, short-term jobs, because they interviewed well, but once they actually got in place, they maybe didn't really have the skills that were needed. Is this something that you have seen with organizations, that the correlation between the quality of an interview and performance afterwards?
Yes, it definitely. And I was just reading this book by Ron Friedman, a psychologist, and he wrote the book The Best Place to Work. And he says in his book, it turns out that interviews are a disastrous tool for gauging potential. And the reason why is that 80% of the people lie during the interview. So really what you should be doing is you should be putting them in the work scenario to test them how well they can do in the actual what they're going to be doing. And we're seeing more in that, especially on domain knowledge, like, you know, programmers, there's all kinds of tech. So we're seeing that. And of course, there's always the talk about, you know, bias. You know, 85 to 90% of hiring managers, they hire on gut instinct. This is not scientific. Using your best, there are better ways to do it nowadays.
And do you think some of that is because of the way we approach interviews? We tend to do it in a very structured way, as opposed to maybe having the conversation and trying to bring out people's capabilities and knowledge a different way.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good example. I have heard some of the great examples of how to interview. There was an article about the CEO and what he would do when he was hiring executives. He would get him to come into the office for a scheduled 1 hour interview. And every time the employee or the candidate would come in, he would say, plans have changed. I have to go to a meeting. here are my car keys, let's go for a drive. And he would take that candidate for a drive for an hour and talk to him or her. And it turned out that there was no really change of plans. This was the plan all along. So you're putting that candidate in a different mindset. So they are now reactive and their real skills come out. So I think that, you know, the interview having, you know, set questions, it has really doesn't really lend to really great outcomes. It's very difficult to get the real person to come out. You need to put them in a different scenario that they're not expecting.
That's interesting. I saw some research, it was a few years ago, from an interviewing platform. And one of the things that they noticed, it was one of the ones where it's asynchronous. So you set the questions and people answer at a time that suits them. And what they found is that a lot of people answer these questions at times that you would never interview them over a weekend. I know that the kind of between 6 and 10 o'clock on a Sunday evening was quite a popular time. People finish the weekend, you know, everything's done and it's kind of they're more kind of relaxed and can approach the interview. And of course, you would never interview somebody at times like that. I mean, if you want to interview somebody for a job and say, well, I'll interview 6 o'clock on Sunday night, it would seem an intrusion. Mm-hmm. And do you think part of it is that we often interview people at times we choose, which might not be, I suppose, the right time for them?
Without a doubt, I think, you know, the interview, like setting up to do a great interview is time consuming both for the candidate and for the recruiter. And when you have to do multiple interviews for a job positioning, it seems that your focus as an interviewer is like, it really is difficult to switch back and forth. So I think there is an advantage of letting that candidate do at their leisure whenever they're really in a good, you know, some headspace to be able to do that. Without a doubt. But even having that, asking generic questions on video interview is just really adding, you know, digitizing a legacy process. You're still trying to ask the same questions and inferring kind of information about their ability and skills. So, you know, they may be in a better headspace, but will you get better outcomes? I'm not so sure.
And when it comes to kind of, I suppose, high volume recruitment, kind of the hourly worker, do you find that it, again, our approach to interviewing historically has been probably time consuming and finding out the wrong information?
Yeah, without a doubt, we had, we have a number of customers who've really taken the kind of approach that we have. And the most interesting thing by, you know, the way we approach is that you really put the candidate in a situational, you're actually getting them to do the work. If you're hiring for a high volume hiring and customer service, you're getting them to handle difficult questions and you're putting them in on the spot. They have no idea of what kind of questions will be coming and they have to really be able to answer that. So there's two benefits of that. One of the benefits, first of all, you will be able to find out what their soft skills are from these types of questions and scenarios because it's challenging. The other thing is that it gives a candidate a preview of the job or job experience. So you're setting the expectation of what the kind of work. And even though that these are frontline workers and hourly workers, they're still not easy jobs. Like dealing with customers, you really need the best skill set possible for the great outcomes. So I think that it is a much preferable way. And even in this book that I mentioned by Ron Freeman, he says, you know, you really need to put those candidates in that job. As he said, you know, he goes on to say, instead of, you know, asking questions for an hour, design a job relevant assignment that reflects the type of work you'll actually be doing. And, you know, this is the approach we've taken. And interestingly is that it really correlates extremely well to performance. So not hiring performance, trying to reduce the hiring time, or, you know, the people we work with, reduce the hiring time to 24 or 48 hours. It's really correlates to the output of that employee and the outcome of that company. So it's really the whole process of rethinking that only interview. And does the interview really belong at that stage, or does it belong further along once you've verified the skills of those candidates?
Hmm. We talk a lot kind of in the HR recruitment TA tech world, obviously, about candidate experience. There's reams of research there. I've written a lot about it myself. But one side of candidate experience that doesn't get talked about a lot is what we call the hourly worker experience. So the kind of volume hires, the you know, who also I think there's a belief probably that these people, you know, are keen for jobs. They just want the job. They just want to start. But you know, the differentiation between organizations, I think, is important. So do you find, I suppose, for like the hourly worker, this different kind of approach to rethinking interviews is kind of better for them, gives them a better experience. It makes them much more aligned with what they're going to have to do once they start.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we have a large customer that is a global enterprise customer, and they really, one of the things that they like the most about our platform is like setting candidate expectations. The candidate knows exactly the kind of work they're going to have to do. And the other benefit they find is that, you know, you can react extremely quickly. If you find those candidates, you can hire them within 24 hours, almost immediately. And these hourly workers or high volume workers, they need to get hired. They're not going to wait 2 or 3 weeks to get a job that pays minimum salary, just about that. So that is the benefit. The candidate sees, well, okay, I can do this job. And for the employers, the same thing. And there are also other benefits we're trying now with, you know, the next version of what we're doing is that we're providing feedback to both the employer, but the candidate. So these are the skills you have. And we're not talking about language skills. We're talking about these soft skills and the importance of soft skills. You know, this is the core of what our company does. You know, according to Harvard Business Review, 85% of job success comes from your soft skills. You know, we can train on hard skills quite easily. It takes more time to train on soft skills. So really flipping that whole equation around.
Now, I have to step in here and say that there was some stuff about 3-4 years ago that was being written and talked about. The use of the word soft skills somehow implies that they're weaker skills. It was an implication somehow they're more feminine skills. And what the expression I've always tried to use is robot-proof skills, because the kind of, when we talk about soft skills, we're kind of talking about the things that the robots and the algorithms can't do. So what do you find, I suppose, are the main robot-proof skills, shall we say, and competencies that you're able to uncover and identify through interviewing slightly differently that are probably most important to the role that someone's going to do?
Yeah, and I think it's really also important about the role, because these soft skills will change according to if you're doing a support role, if you are an hourly working where you need to work with a team, or if you're a sales role, they will vary greatly. And I can sort of highlight some of them. We know that if you're in a sales role, which is, you know, outbound sales, these are not easy roles. And the more important skill to have is really be able to be very fluent. Fluency is extremely important. The other one is building rapport. You need to be able to build rapport with that potential client or that client. If you're doing support, well, that's a bit different. You need to have active listening skills. You need to listen to what that customer is saying, because they may talk, they may speak for 2 minutes and have all kinds of issues, but you got to focus on the primary issue. And then the other one is being able to, again, you know, build a bit of rapport and then paraphrasing. So these are the skills that are really important in those roles. But even with that, with, you know, the way that we've approached this, we isolate according to your current employees, what's driving your success. And sometimes, many times, even the employer doesn't even know. So, you know, by adding AI or a scientific framework to this, it really gives the employers better information. Okay, I really need to focus on these three main skills. So that's really the change. It's like, it's adding science to hiring. So when we talk about replacing interviews or rethinking interviews, well, when the candidate comes in, you already have a good view of what the skills they have, and you know what to focus on. And then the interview is really, it's about rethinking. It really then goes at the end. It's really more of a cultural fit and verifying that whatever process that you've been through, that you're making sure that that candidate has those skills.
And the kind of approach that your clients take, when it comes down to maybe probing, so it's kind of people want to dig a little bit deeper in things. Are you able to do that, or do you find that your some of the assessments are maybe kind of top level as opposed to deeper?
Yeah, no, it's actually deeper. And I think, you know, I need to add a clarifying, you know, the assessments, the way we've challenged the problem and try to solve it is all open-ended questions. So we're not asking the the candidate to answer a multiple choice question. It's really, you need to understand what the question is. So as you listen to a question, then you answer. And then within that answer, you need to have multiple skills that we're looking for. And probing is another, you know, in a customer service related role, that active listening and probing really relate to performance. How do you ask that probing question? And on what subject are you going to ask that probing question? So our technology can really pinpoint those skills and those responses from the candidates. That it's really high level skills, not low level skills.
And presumably, there's a way to overcome bias, because it's again part of the difficulty, particularly with face to face interviews, is are I suppose human biases. Mm-hmm. And do you find that this is kind of a key attraction of your approach, or?
Yeah, it is, because, you know, when you're putting those candidates in a scenario that we don't listen, we don't look at their accents, we don't know, have any information about that candidate. We don't know where they're from. We don't know about their religious beliefs. We don't have any information about that candidate. And it's really about that candidate's ability to express those skills. And it turns out that from all our studies, we work currently all around the world with our clients, and it's extremely unbiased, male, female, doesn't matter what your religious, you know, sexual orientation, it makes no difference. It really focuses on, it's a skills-based assessment. And those skills are, you know, things that are difficult to measure, soft skills. So that's the outcome of what we're seeing. And our clients really like that approach. And as you mentioned before, you know, bias is introduced. It apparently takes 1/10 of a second once you see that candidate to make an opinion on that candidate. And, you know, if you have that bias in your head, even though it's, you know, not conscious, your questions are going to change according to that bias. Mm. And the way you ask those questions will be leading. And that's the other problem that's difficult with interviews. Yeah, you need to remove that and then put that later on in the process.
Yeah, overcoming bias in decision making is a huge issue. Do you feel that this, because we were talking, say, about the hourly worker experience, do you think that this happens more in volume hiring? Because I suppose if you're hiring for somebody, maybe, I don't know, a senior position or a management mm-hmm. level position who's a specialist, you tend to develop more of a rapport during the interview, as opposed to, do you find that actually the same approach works for whatever level?
Yeah, the skill sets are a little more, they're different, definitely, when you're talking about manager level. But having said that, I was talking to one of our clients that does high volume hire with us, and they have about 1,000 people or a managerial level, all the way up to executive, and they see the same issues with those candidates. So they hire for, you know, BI specialists, all kinds of specialists, and they want to find an unbiased way to evaluate that candidate's ability to work in a team, communicate professionally, handle challenges, change management, and all the other assessments and other process has not worked. So, you know, they may have great skills, but they come to work and then it's a problem because they can't communicate with their team. So we're going to do some pilots. It's a little more challenging, but we think that we can also help and solve that problem. Higher level skills, managerial skills, those kind of skills, team building skills.
Okay. And who does this well, would you say?
Who does this well?
In terms of organizations or types of organizations.
Yeah. Well, we've seen tremendous outcomes from small organizations that have 50 to 100, you know, customer-facing roles, all the way up to large global enterprises that have operations around the world. And, you know, we focus right now because of our experience with really call center, outbound, inbound, tech support, insurance companies, telco. And with them, this approach has proven so well that they've actually completely eliminated those primary interviews. And they've really only have either an operational interview, they call it, or they have a cultural fit interview. And the most remarkable thing, besides streamlining hiring, you know, the candidate can do the assessment at their leisure, is that it's really led to better outcomes. So if we're talking to an outbound sales organization, they've actually seen their closing rates go up by 10%. They're finding top performing candidates within 90 days that has been impossible to find manually in the existence of the company. So first call resolution. So using this approach, you can really dig down into the data of your employees and apply it into the inbound process, the application process. Or if you're looking at, you know, we have other companies that have, they get 10,000 applicants, 40,000, 100,000 applicants a year. And for them, even with CV screening technology, you know, just like the interview, candidates lie in their interview, they lie in their CVs. So they're not always a good indication of the skills. So by putting them in a scenario-based environment where they do the job, you're going to get much better candidates. So there's a whole bunch of benefits around it. So I think that is eventually that this is applicable to any kind of high volume, more, I shouldn't move to high volume, customer-facing jobs with the most number one skill to drive success is soft skills. That's really the key of what we're going to do.
Okay. For roles where you maybe, I know we talked about probing earlier, but for roles where you maybe want to dig a bit deeper underneath the surface, how does that work? How does that, how do you see that, I suppose, working for organizations? Is it kind of still very much the one-to-one person, or is there a way that it can be automated, but to maybe probe a bit deeper?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what we do is that you're creating a benchmark of the skills required. And, you know, when you're looking at other skills, specific skills, then you can hone the tech to really hone on those skills. So we have another customer, which is in healthcare. So these skills now are becoming much higher level. We're talking about, you know, empathy. So when a client calls in or a client customer calls in to one of these telehealth nurses, then you really need to have empathy for these people who are usually in crisis situation. So the platform once again can really hone in. So at that point, you know, you have to be listening, you have to be able to have tons of empathy, and you also still have to have probing questions. You know, they're in a panic, you need to figure out how you can help them. So you can really, it's a really flexible approach, and you really hone in onto the specific role. And I think that's probably another reason why we can really help, you know, these organizations meet their business outcomes, because it's not a, you know, one size fits all approach. You need to customize for these roles. You know, humans are complex, and humans want to talk to humans, and humans need the right skills to be able to deal with that. So, and that's really how you need to look at that problem.
Do you see a day when the traditional person-to-person interview or panel interview will be replaced? It just won't happen anymore.
I think, you know, there's a lot of great people speaking about that. There's Aileen Bailey at Smart Recruiters, you know, recruiterless recruiting, or Kevin yeah. Wheeler's, you know, the interviews is, you know, is passé. I think that these solutions are great to really hone in on these candidates, but at some point, you know, your corporation, your enterprise, your company, whatever it may be, is still a human, and humans are still really important. And I think that the candidate expects, and I think it's normal to be able to do these assessments, especially with the younger generation. They're used to this, they want this. But at the end, I think the human is still really important, and the human has better, you know, the human has better ability to fit, to evaluate cultural fit and those kind of things that, you know, at some point you need to talk to a human. You're going to be working in a team. You're going to be talking to customers. And this is not going away, even with all this AI and ChatGPT. We've spoken to our customers extensively, and they don't see the role of the human going anywhere. So we have to remember that, you know, we're all humans, and we need to talk to other humans.
Yeah. Can you, the kind of approach that we're talking about, and obviously you enable companies to use. If we look at, I mean, a lot of what we're talking about today is people entering an organization, mm-hmm. but yeah, you know, people in HR and TA do interviews all the time, and sometimes it's interviewing yeah. for promotions, sometimes yeah. it's interviewing for you know, a number of other things. Do you see that kind of what's happening at entry level at some stage will be rolled out through other things, so that kind of interviewing for a promotion panel will be done like this as well?
Yeah, we're seeing that with we have a customer in India, and they're reassessing all their frontline workers as the roles are becoming more complex. So they're doing a deep dive using one of the frameworks that we worked with them to figure out what the skills are to reassign all these employees. So yeah, we can see that happening. And especially also even other customers is that they want to find out within these people who have applied and they've been working frontline roles, they want to promote them. These are careers for a lot of these people. And they want to find out who has team building skills, who can, lead leadership skills. So we're seeing more and more of these projects, and we're starting to do a lot of these pilots. We started off with customer facing, high volume, but now this is becoming more and more important. Without a doubt, the more information anybody has, the more you can add a framework that's metric driven, then the better outcomes you're going to get.
Okay. Stefan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. As I said at the beginning, interviews is the bedrock of the daily work cycle. It's how we find jobs. It's how we keep jobs. It's ripe for change, particularly as I think most complaints around the hiring process will come down to people not happy with the interviews they've been given, or people feeling they've been misunderstood or misinterpreted and stuff. So I think that rethinking interviews is crucial for all our organizations. If people want to follow up and find a little bit more about you and your thoughts, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, you can reach out to us either to our website, hiringbranch.com, or you can email me directly at Stefan, and that's Stephane, at hiringbranch.com. Happy to talk about the rethinking interviews and the future of hiring.
Okay. Stefan, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Hopefully, the next time you and I catch up, the world of interviewing would have changed.
I also thank you very much, Mervyn, for your time. I really appreciate being on your podcast today.
It's a pleasure.